We're continuing our studies in the book of Philippians, and obviously the Lord has not given me the green light to go chapter 1, verse 1, word 1 yet. I just feel like that we need to spend some time on some words that are found in this book that are important. Like, I would like to know what the imperatives are. What does God require of me? Now, some people say, well, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Well, just because Paul wrote it, it doesn't mean that it's not what the Lord requires. And so therefore, I want to spend a little time on the imperatives. And then also, I want to reflect briefly on the infinitives. The infinitives are interesting in that infinitives express purpose or extent of action. The infinitive implies potential or possibility. So we'll look at mainly right now the imperatives. Now, we're not going to look at all of the imperatives that are in Philippians, but we're going to look at the ones that I think that will should have an impact on our life and our living. And again, the imperative expresses a command or intention. And an example of that is, let them wash. This is an example of the imperative. The first one that I think that is that we need to look at is found in Philippians 1:27. In Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, the faith of the gospel is really carries the thought of the hope of the gospel. And why am I saying that? It's because faith gives substance to the things that we're hoping for. And the gospel is the message that tells us what we need to be hoping for. And that is hope of glory, hope of standing in His presence, qualified to rule and reign in His kingdom. And that's what we're hoping for. And because we can be disqualified from that privilege in that kingdom. You live in sin and you're out. So, here we find an imperative in this verse. And it's in the very first part of this verse. It says, let your conversation... This is a present active imperative. Let your way of life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. The word becometh could be translated worthy. And so here we have an imperative that we need to behave ourselves like we believe the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ presents the hope of glory. And we need to live like we believe that hope of glory can be entered into or forfeited. And to enter into the hope of enter into the coming kingdom of our Lord is dependent upon a worthy walk. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that ye walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. The kingdom and glory is based upon a worthy walk. You walk unworthily, you will not enter into His kingdom with honor and glory. Now, the word worthy in 1 Thessalonians 2:12 also carries the idea as becometh. In other words, it's the same word as in Philippians 1:27. Another passage of Scripture is Colossians 1:10. that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So our conversation should be a pleasing lifestyle. That's what a conversation is. It's our lifestyle. Our lifestyle should be pleasing unto the Lord. It should be fruitful in every good work. And part of that lifestyle should be growing in the knowledge of God. And that has to do with the Scriptures. Not only the Scriptures, but it also has to do with the Word of God, which is the mysteries of the kingdom. So letting our conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ requires a worthy walk and a pleasing walk, a fruitful walk, a walk that includes increasing in truth. And that's what we find in Colossians 1:10. Then the next imperative I want us to look at is in Philippians 2:5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." The imperative here is that we need to have the mind of Christ. We need to be thinking about our life and our choices as Christ would choose for us. I know people wear this band around their wrists. What would Jesus do? And we need to have the mind of Christ. That's an imperative. And you know what? Imperatives can fail. I didn't even mention that before. Just because God commands certain things does not mean that we're going to do them. Okay? That's the whole idea. Now, we are instructed to have the mind of Christ, or let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We don't have to let that happen. We just can just ignore that and go on our merry way and do our own thing and live a lawless life. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, gives us a little insight into the mind of Christ. He wasn't worried about his reputation. You know, sometimes we're worried about our reputation. In verse 7 it says, "But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death." Now, I think of the fact that he wasn't worried about his reputation, and the office that he took was a low one. A servant is a low office. He was not a big shot. He was a humble man. In fact, it says that in verse 8. He humbled himself, and he was obedient. And he learned obedience by the things that he suffered, according to Hebrews chapter 5. And so we need the mind of Christ. And I know that we are not covering all the things that we could include, but I have to have something to teach when we get down to verse chapter 2 and verse 8. Anyway, just getting a little bit there. But anyway, the mind of Christ is also seen in John 4, in verse 34. Jesus told his disciples when they brought the groceries from the city to have something to eat while he was out at the well with the lady, with the woman. Jesus says, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Jesus says, "I'm satisfied with doing what God wants me to do," because that's what food does, is provide satisfaction, provide strength. He says, "My satisfaction and strength is doing what my Father has called me to do." And not only that, but to finish. The mind of Christ is he's going to finish what he came to do. We need to do the same thing. Now, the next one that we need to look at is in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The word work out is a present active imperative, where this has to do with partly with a worthy walk. Working out our salvation has to do with a worthy walk. In fact, as a matter, I believe that we should tie verse 12 in with verse 13. What does it mean to work out your own salvation? By the way, this is not the common salvation. This is the so great salvation. This is the salvation that is associated with His coming kingdom and the gospel of Christ, and with fear and trembling. And the fear and trembling is associated with the judgment seat of Christ. Paul says we all are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things that we've done in our body, whether they be good or evil, knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. Persuade men to do what? To walk worthy, to be prepared to stand in at the judgment seat of Christ, approved. But in Philippians 2:13, the word for is a conjunction, and conjunctions tie things together. And what verse 13 is doing, the for in verse 13 is tying it back to working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. How do we do that? Well, I believe that it's given to us in verse 13. God is working in you. In other words, if God's working in me, I need to be flexible. I need to be pliable. I need to be moldable. Working out my own salvation is allowing God to do some things in our hearts and lives. And one of the things that He is working on is your will, my will. He wants us to do His will. And He's working on my will to do His will. In fact, as it says, working in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Doing His good pleasure, you're working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you will be prepared to stand in His presence. Now, the next imperative is in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. The word do is a present active imperative. This is a command. You're to do all things without grumbling and complaining and griping. It has to do with satisfaction. I just think of the children of Israel. In the wilderness, God provided them with a well-balanced diet. There wasn't anybody that was skin and bones in the wilderness. They were eating manna every day. But you know what? They murmured against Moses and the Lord because they weren't satisfied with what God provided. You know what? We need to learn to be satisfied with what God gives us and provides for us and allows for us. Because it's easy to murmur that we're not getting what we deserve. But anyway, and disputing. Well, I think the good word to replace disputing is debating. Do all things without arguing. You know, when the Lord said to Elijah, He says, I want you down at the brook, and I'm going to bring in some chow in the morning and chow in the evening, and you drink the water. And I don't want any debate. You just sit down there, and you'll find out when it's time to leave. And then He did. When the river dried up, it was time to go. And so we don't debate with the Lord. And so this is one of the commandments that God has given us. Obeying the Lord. Then, the next one I want us to look at is in Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Isn't that something? We are commanded to rejoice in the Lord. I think there are times when we count it all joy, but I think that's part of rejoicing in the Lord, having joy. And it's very interesting. This imperative is found again twice in Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Here are two imperatives. It's actually given, the command is given three times to rejoice in the Lord. In other words, we need to serve the Lord with joyfulness and gladness of heart. It reminds me of the passage of Scripture, I think it's in Jeremiah. Serve the Lord with gladness and joyfulness of heart, or the Lord, or you will, or the Lord will send a yoke of iron about your neck, and you won't be having any fun anymore. I wish I just happened to think of that verse, but I can't remember where it is. I believe it is in Jeremiah, and where it says, "Serve the Lord with gladness and joyfulness of heart, for the abundance of all things." Or the Lord will send your enemies against you, and you will serve them with a yoke of iron. I think that's what it amounts to. I prefer rejoicing in the Lord and serving the Lord with gladness, because I sure don't want to. Oh, Deuteronomy. Thank you, hon. Deuteronomy 28:47. It's worth looking up, because we do need to rejoice in the Lord, and and not serve our enemies.
48:47.
Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore thou shalt serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. Now that gives you some incentive to serve the Lord with joyfulness of heart. I'm glad we did go there and added some superlatives. You bet. So anyway, we need to rejoice in the Lord. We need to be thankful for what he's doing. And to know, to live confidently, that all things are possible to God. He can change anybody's situation anytime he chooses. And the prime example of that is Joseph. I mean, he went from the Egyptian pits to the pinnacle of Egypt. And it didn't take him long. He had to take a bath and had a shave. But when he arrived, the Lord changed his life and blessed his family. But anyway, rejoice again, and I say rejoice. Now, Philippians 3:2. Here we are exhorted with three imperatives, and they're all beware. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. And these are all commands. And we need to be wary of dogs, evil workers, and of the concision. Now, who are the dogs? Well, the children of Israel referred to Gentiles as dogs. But that was before they became clean, which is in Acts chapter 10. Dogs were those who could not and would not accept kingdom truth. They couldn't qualify to enter. Jesus sent his disciples and the 70 to only Israel at one time. But in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, we find references made to the dogs. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine. In other words, to beware of dogs is beware of those who are not interested in what you embrace as precious truth, holy truth, pearls. Pearls are value, truth of value. Beware of those who have no interest in things that you consider valuable. You don't cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. To rend you is to attack you and bite you and hurt you. And I associate the swine that will turn again and rend you as evil workers. Beware of those that will turn against you and try to hurt you. Beware that that can happen. And so therefore we need to be careful how we share that which is precious to us. In fact, even the gospel of Christ. And the concision, I picked out a verse in 2 Timothy 3:13 where it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." When I think of concision, the word concision is the opposite of circumcision. Circumcision is the cutting around. Concision is chopping up. It's cutting straight down. That's what the word concision carries, the meaning of cutting straight down. And when I think about people who are chopping up, they're the ones who are deceived and are deceiving other people by their doctrine. And so they're seducers, and we know that they will wax worse and worse. Now, the next example, the next reference to the imperative is in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. "Brethren, be followers together of me." That's imperative. And obviously that imperative doesn't apply to us today because Paul's not here. But we do have Paul's writings to compare our lives with. But it says here, the challenge is here, "Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." The imperative is this. Our lifestyle should be such that others could mark us out as someone to emulate, someone to follow, to someone to fashion our life after. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to do what I would do. One of the things that I did when I was younger, in fact, I still do it, but there was a time in my life when I got up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning every day of the week, and I studied the Bible till 8 o'clock in the morning. And there I've talking to a friend, he says, "I tried to do that. I couldn't do that." Well, I don't think that everybody should do everything I do. But I think everyone should have the same desire and passion about the Scriptures and the knowledge. And then you spend the time that you have available to you to grow and to mature in the Scriptures. You don't do what I do. You have the attitude of what I have and as far as the Scriptures are concerned, and growing in grace and in the knowledge of Him. But anyway, we are exhorted to mark out, that's a present active imperative, them which walk, present active participle, and to walk in the present tense means consistency. You don't mark out somebody that's an on again, off again, hen again, fin again. You mark out somebody that is consistent, day in, day out, day in, day out. And you emulate or follow them. And be encouraged by their example. And of course, reading Paul's works, particularly in the book of Acts, you see his compassion. He says, "The grace of God was given to me. You know what I did when I got the grace of God? I worked harder than they all did. When I got His grace, I worked harder than all of the others put together." He didn't say put together, but he worked harder. Now, Philippians 4:1. "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, stand fast." That's an imperative. The word "stand fast" carries the meaning of persevere in the Lord. And I like what Paul is saying here. "Brethren, dearly beloved," and he used it twice. He says, "I love you. I want you to be there at the end. I want you to persevere. I don't want you to quit. You're of value to me." We are to persevere. And Paul was looking forward to the joy of seeing them with him at the judgment seat of Christ, in the presence of the Lord with him. And they would be his crown, recognition of his, of the ministry that he had. Now, the next one I want us to look at is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. I entreat thee also, yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others, my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. The imperative here is help those that are doing the work. And I know this. I'm glad that he says, you help the women. The tendency is not to help the women. Let them go. But Paul says, you help the women that help me. They're important to me, and they're important to you, and you help them. And not only them, but Clement and others also. So we need to help those that are in the work, and that are fellow laborers. And so that's another imperative. Then Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. That's an imperative. Be careful. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the word made known is a present passive imperative. We need to be praying. We need to be letting God know what's on our heart. And we are not to be there demanding from God. We request. There are some people that demand things from God. May the Lord have mercy upon such arrogance. And we need to let our requests be made known. And by the way, it's passive submission. Not my will, but thine be done. And in fact, Paul said in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Letting our requests be known, be made known in the passive voice, means that we need to learn contentment and satisfaction. Paul lived confidently, and we need to live that way too. The Lord Jesus Christ did so, according to Mark 14:36, where we cry, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. That's how Paul lived. Now, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 is another imperative. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. And I'm going to skip over the whatsoever things and just emphasize just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praise. Here's the imperative. Think about these things. That's an imperative. That's a command. Think on those things that are honest, just, pure, lovely. Get away from the dirt. Get away from the evil. One of the things that I was talking to someone here a month ago, and they said, you ought to get this book and read this book or read these articles about these men. And what it did was exposing what bums they are as far as the United States is concerned. And it if I read that stuff and believe that stuff, it would make me angry. It'd make me want to spit on them. It'd make me want to shoot them. a lady that I did some computer work for many, many years ago wanted me to join the John Birch Society. The John Birch Society will inflame you against our government, or some that are influencing our government, not everybody. But I want to think of things that are just and pure and lovely and a good report, and not on these other things that would make me not have the right attitude toward other people. Another passage in verse 9 of Philippians 4. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Present active imperative. Are you learning anything? Are you receiving anything? Are you hearing anything? Do you see anything worth doing in others? We need to be doing them. And Paul says, if you've learned it, you've received it, you've heard it, you need to do it. And you know what? There are benefits for it. The God of peace will be with you. Now, you want to turn that around and say the peace of God will be with you. That's fine, but the Greek can be manipulated that way at times. But the way the Greek text reads is the God of peace will be with you. And if He will, I'd like that. And if He's not personally with me, I still want His peace. That's the main thing. Now, those are some imperatives that I think that would encourage us to be faithful. You do these imperatives, you're prepared to stand in His presence. That's all. You're prepared. Now, the infinitives, present active infinitive, has to do with purpose. In other words, in application, like in Philippians 1:10, that ye may prove things that are excellent. The word prove is a present active imperative, and it means to try. You know what? We need to try things that are before us and choose the best. Okay? Not the good, but the best. Things that are more valuable. That's the present active infinitive is telling us to do. This is the purpose and extent of action. That we may be sincere, that is, genuine, without flaw, without offense, stumbling. You know, if we don't prove things that are good and choose the best and eschew the evil or that which is second rate, you know what? We're going to be flawed, and we are in a place where we might stumble and quit. So we need to prove things. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die again. The word to live is present active infinitive. That shows what purpose is for our life. We need to be living for Him, Christ. That is, the gospel of Christ, the glory of Christ, the mind of Christ, and all that goes with that. This is the extent of action that we need to be doing. But another one is in Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. The word to believe is a present active infinitive. We need to be believing all the time. And then you need to be prepared to suffer all the time as well. Those are two things that we have in store. If we're believing, you know what? We esteem age-lasting life. And if we esteem age-lasting life, we will be willing to suffer. Because the light affliction is not to be compared with the what? The glory that shall be revealed. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The word to will is a present active infinitive. The word to do is a present active infinitive. This is the purpose of God for us. And then in closing, in Philippians 3:16, It says, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us mind the same thing. You've been successful in your walk with the Lord? Keep doing it. Let us walk by the same rule. The Lord gives us rules to walk by. And He gives us things that we need to be thinking about. And we need to keep on thinking those things so that where we've already attained, we won't lose ground. May the Lord help us to see the value of the imperatives and the purposes that God has given us to stand in His presence approved and to hear well done. Father, I just pray that You bless the thoughts this evening to Your honor and glory and our good and profit. We just pray, Lord, that You'd help us to take our study of the Scriptures and the Word of God serious so that we will apply it in our life. These are just not suggestions. These are things that we need to esteem important and of value so that they will change our life and that will honor You. These things we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.